chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There's a very popular lie out and about. Too many young people believe it. Too many young adults believe it. Too many children looking to be young people believe it. And sadly, too many parents believe it. And this is the lie. You may sow your wild oats while you're young. You're only young once, and it's important when you're young to have fun. Godliness and holiness are for later in life. This is my time. I'll use it my way. I say that's a lie. It's a lie out of hell. It's a devil's lie. He likes us to believe that lie, because that's the best way for him to destroy individuals, to destroy churches, to destroy God's heritage. He wants us to believe that lie. That lie is answered in the text this evening. There is a connection between youth and old age. How you live and how you think and what you do when you're young does affect later in life and does matter. The joys or the sorrows of tomorrow are determined by the activities and the desires of today. Now, it's obvious that the words of this text are especially for the young people, and that's why they've been picked. The young people this week are going to young people's convention. And there'll be many temptations, not only this week, but there are in your life temptations to put God out of your mind, to forget God. And not only for the young people, I suppose, but this is a word for everybody, for the young adults, for our young congregation with its young families and young parents and many young, or even for the old. Solomon was old when he said this, and he remembered this when he was old. The book of Ecclesiastes is like the last chapter in the life of Solomon. There are really three chapters in the life of Solomon. The first chapter is the young man Solomon, a young man who feared God, who chose wisdom over riches and honor, who was blessed by God at a young age, and who prospered as a young man. Then there's the second chapter of Solomon's life. His middle years. Years when the Bible tells us he married strange women and because of them was drawn away after strange gods. Sad years. A period of immorality. Solomon had become proud in his riches and with his wisdom. The book of Ecclesiastes is the closing chapter. Now Solomon is an old man, and he's looking back on everything, all his wisdom, all his riches, all his work, all his accomplishments, all his power. And he reflects on all of it, and he says one thing about it all. Again and again, all throughout this book, it's all vanity. It's empty. It's like the dust that blows away in the wind. like the cloud that's there and then it's gone. That's life. That's the achievements of life. That's the riches of life. That's all the knowledge and all the proverbs that somebody might put together. It's all vanity. Solomon says, the rich and the poor both go to the same end. He says even this, man dies like the beast of the field. Perhaps you should think of it this way. You know Solomon. He's a well-known person. And now he's in the nursing home and he's very old. And you're excited to go and visit him. He's had a very colorful life, lots of experiences. And you're a young person, he's an old man. And certainly he remembers very much of the history of the past decades and the past century. And there were so many things in his life that everybody still talks about. Talks about even 1,000 years later, Solomon in all his glory. And so you're eager to go and talk to Solomon. And you come there and you come to the nursing home and you get to be acquainted with him a little. And then you say, Solomon, tell me about life. You ask him questions. And he has only one thing to say. Shakes his head as an old man and he says, it's all vanity. It's all vanity. And then this. Remember your Creator. That's all that matters. Remember your Creator. Tonight we look at this text under the theme, Youth, Remember Your Creator. Notice three things. What, when, and why. Youth, remember your Creator. What does Solomon mean by remember? Does he mean simply that we call to mind something of the past, this past week? A man I worked with in Australia 18 years ago emailed me. And we had a nice exchange and we exchanged memories. Things I hadn't thought about for more than a decade. Is that what Solomon means? Recall things that otherwise you would have forgotten? So that you can go through life perhaps not thinking about God, but once in a while you should remember that He's there and that He's real? Is that the idea? Obviously not. The word remember means much more than simply recalling something to mind that you might not always think about. It means this, that you set your mind and your affections on something so that it has priority in your thoughts over everything else. Jesus says, or the law says, remember the Sabbath day. Well, it isn't just remembering this day that God set aside, that doing something with it. The thief on the cross says to Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Does he mean that when Jesus comes into heaven, he should say, oh yeah, that's right, there was a man on the cross next to me and that's the end of it? It means more than that. It has to do with affections, with thoughts, with what takes priority in the mind? Remember your Creator. Give place and priority to this in your mind. There are many things that fill our minds, many things that we think about, many things that we must remember. We have pocket diaries and we put things in on different dates. Well, every day this should be there. Having priority over everything else, remember your Creator. Remember your Creator. Really, this has to do with love. It's somebody falls in love, a young girl, and she says, "This has never happened to me before. I can't stop thinking about him." That's the idea. It's love, recalling to mind God because we love Him. We love Him above all else. And so He takes this place of prominence and priority in the mind, living in the constant awareness of the reality and the holiness of God. Now, who are we to call to mind? Well, first we should notice that we are to remember a person here. We're not just remembering events or duties. Sometimes children have lists of chores that they have to do. They know that when they wake up in the morning, there are certain things that are expected of them before they come to the breakfast table. There's a list. Maybe it's just a mental list, but there's something hard about remembering this list of duties. There's something difficult about remembering, for example, historical events for a test. That's not what we're remembering here. Not a list of duties, not events of the past or expected events in the future. We're remembering a person. That little child with a list of chores remembers what those chores are much better when he thinks about his mother and perhaps her displeasure in the past, or her pleasure when he's done them, or her love and her care for him. And so it's much better that he remembers a person, his mother, than the duties. And that's the idea here. We remember a person. Now who? Remember your Creator. Now that's a rare designation of God in the Scriptures. Not that the Scriptures don't have much to say about God as Creator and Maker of all things. They do, but only 6 times in all of the Scriptures is God addressed this way as Creator. Remember your Creator. And why is that used here? Well, that's used here because this presents God to us as the inescapable God. Nobody can escape God, the Creator. You say, remember your Savior. Well, some will say, well, God isn't my Savior. Remember the Lord, your Lord. Well, He's not my Lord. I'm not interested in following Him. But here's something that every man, a title in which every man must recognize the reality of God. The rich and the poor meet together, Proverbs 22. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the Maker of them all. Malachi 2, verse 10. Have not we all one Father? Hath not one God created us? This is the inescapable God, the Creator. That God is Creator says to man, you're not your own. You don't determine your own destiny. You're not accountable only to yourself or to man. Morality isn't relative. But there's a God to which you must answer. Everyone must answer to his Maker. We talk about that sometimes when somebody dies. He went to meet his Maker. And that's true for everyone who dies. They meet their Maker. God made man with a body and a soul, and someday man will have to meet his Maker. But now, we're not only to remember that God is and that God is real, but we are to remember something of the characteristic of God, what God is like. That's the idea here in the text. There are many people who will say, yes, God is the creator of all things. Even many who believe in evolution, they have some theistic form of evolution. And yes, there is some ultimate being who is the origin, the starting point of all things. In God we trust, they say, and they mean some ultimate divine being. But that's all they care about, God. He's there, He's real, but they don't give a hoot about what He's like. And the point of the text is not only remember that He is, but think of His character. What's this God like? What is He like? That's what Solomon is saying. Remember His power. Remember that He's able to do all His good pleasure. Remember His holiness. He, as Creator, created a sinless world, and He's a holy God. And He created in the beginning a heaven and a hell for sinful man and sinful angels. In His power, He holds everything and every creature in its place, and every man will have to stand before the power and the holiness and the justice of God. Remember His character, His grace, His mercy, His love, His omniscience. Remember that He's a God who sees all, who hears the prayers of His people. Remember His love. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. This is what Solomon's saying. Remember what God is like. And let these thoughts of God take prominence in your mind. Remember the things about God because they matter a whole lot more than all the other things that clutter your mind and that are dead-ended thoughts. Remember your Creator. The incomparableness of God, the incomprehensible God, the faithfulness of God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25, "To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might. For that He is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God?" Why do you think God can't see and God doesn't know? Why do you live that way? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of His understanding. Remember your Creator. That He is. But also who He is. Remember God. Remember why He created you. Proverbs 16, verse 4, "The Lord hath made all things for Himself." We read about it also in Ecclesiastes 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's old man Solomon in the nursing home. Solomon, what's the conclusion of the whole matter? This is it. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." This is why God made man. And there's going to be a test someday, a judgment day. "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil." Remember why God made you. For Him, for His glory. When? Remember, now, thy Creator. Now, in the days of thy youth. We want to put it off, don't we? Tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll think about God. Tomorrow is a very famous day, isn't it? If you die it, tomorrow's famous. Well, today's the last day that I'll have this greasy breakfast. And today's the last day I'll have this 12-ounce steak and this piece of dessert. Tomorrow. And what happens? Tomorrow keeps eluding us. It's a famous false hope. You can do that with dieting, but you can't do that with God. God says, remember me now. Now. Not later. Not tomorrow. Not when I'm 25. But now. Remember now, thy Creator. Why? Because if you continue to indulge yourself in sin and say, God is for later, you're trapping yourself. You know that about sin. Sin is a trap. It never happens that when we continue in sin, it gets less and less. We indulge in a sin this day and we think, well, God in the future, God another day, and this sin again tomorrow. But less of it. Never happens that way. When we go on willfully in sin, and you know this, it's always more and more, till there's no turning back. God can't wait. Remember, now, your Creator. In the days of your youth. We can look at the days of youth from two points of view. Without God and with God. The Bible describes the days of youth without God. Without God, they're careless and thoughtless days. Days when life is about fun and frivolity, about silliness. Days when we think we're invincible, when we think we'll never die, when we think this will go on forever. The days of youth are an age of opportunity for sin. The world is before you with all its temptations, and there are days when it's difficult to be kept pure. The psalmist asks, how shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? In the King James, how shall the young man cleanse his way? How will he keep it pure? And he asks the question because it's a difficult question to answer. It's a difficult thing to do. Youth is the age of opportunity for sin. And what's sad is often youth will abandon themselves to sin. They'll live in reckless bondage to sin. Youth is an age without God of pressure to conform. Not only to temptations, but even just to be like whatever the norm is for young people. In dress, in entertainment, in whatever. It's an age of pressure. Listen to what Job says about youth in Job 21. They send forth their little ones like a flock and their children dance. He's talking about children, young people. They dance. They take the timbrel and the harp and they rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment they go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us. We For we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him?" And it's describing young people in this age of reckless abandon. They say, "Don't talk to us about God. We're having too much fun with our music and with our dancing. Leave us alone. There's no use praying to him. What profit do we get from that? This is much more fun." And they waste their time and their years not remembering God in their youth. What does Solomon say? In the end of chapter 11, he says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart, and in the sight of thine eyes." There's some sarcasm there. You want to live this way? Well, do it then. Follow what your heart desires. Go after what your eyes see. Do it. Sleep in whatever bed you want. Listen to whatever music you want. Watch whatever movies you want. Do whatever you will. Just do it. But he says, no, this God will bring it into judgment. Know that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. And there's a lesson there. There's some wisdom to learn from old man Solomon. And it's this: remove sorrow from thine heart, put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. And he means by that they pass quickly. It's only a very short while that you're young. I was 14 just yesterday. Remember it as clear as ever. Those years fly away. They're vanity. But God will judge you. Will judge you for those years. Don't waste those years. You know, the young people will waste those years. It's about hanging out and whatever. This glazed over look. What are you doing? Just hanging out. What are you going to do? Let's go sit on the hood. And they waste the years. There's no thought, no remembrance of God. Those years don't have to be wasted like that. They're not only an age of opportunity to sin, but an age of opportunity for growth. They can be the most blessed years of a person's life. Solomon himself, as a young man, remembered his Creator. What an example. As a young man, he became king, and God came to him in a dream, and he said, "Solomon, what do you want? Riches and honor?" Solomon said, "No. Give me wisdom." He remembered his Creator. He looked at the task, the life that was before him. He said, "Who am I to lead and to judge so great a people?" How many of our young people would say, "Give me wisdom over riches. Give me wisdom over a good reputation, an honor, and a good occupation. Give me wisdom." And he's not the only one in the Scriptures that as a young man didn't waste his years. You have Joseph, and you have the young man Moses, and you have Samuel, and you have David, and Daniel and his three friends, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Timothy. Young people who used their best years in the best way and reaped the best reward from God. So, remember your Creator. Now, in your youth. Why? And that brings us to the third point, and we're early there, aren't we? And that's good, because we have a lot to say yet. Why? You see all the letters on your outline. I want to bombard you with reasons. Why? I want to leave you without excuse. Why remember your Creator in the days of your youth? So that there's no excuse. God's Word does that. It leaves us without excuse. And this evening, you must be left without excuse before God. Why? 9 reasons, and that's not exhaustive either. There are more, but the first one, because evil days are coming. Remember your Creator now while you're young, because evil days are coming. That's what Solomon says. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. And he's speaking comparatively there. Comparatively, later in life, the days are far more evil. You have far more trouble in your life later on than you do now while you're young. Later on, you'll have to deal with difficult things like death in relationships, like brokenness in relationships, like being sinned against in a terrible way, like sickness and disease. And he's saying, before those evil days come, lay the foundation of your faith firm in your youth so that you're prepared for the evil days. Remember your Creator now, before the days are evil. You can imagine someone who lives in reckless abandon with no thought of God suddenly being afflicted. No thought of God, no foundation of faith. And what do? They become bitter and angry against God. He's saying, remember your Creator while the days are good. The second reason, remember your Creator because it's our nature to forget God. Isn't that true? There are so many things in our life that we think are so important, so much more important to us than God. It's about who can pitch the fastest, who's got the nicest car, who has the highest paying job. It's about dress and friends. Or if we're young and married, houses and decor and vacations. And we think these things are so important. And it's because of that we forget God. We occupy our minds with all the vanity of life. And he says, remember your Creator because realize you are prone to forget Him. Third, remember your Creator because the days of youth are days of special temptation. There are pressures. There are attacks. There are people and demons that want to take you away from God. And you're especially vulnerable. You have little experience in the battles of life. You're like new recruits going onto the battlefield. And you're skipping and jumping like this is going to be fun. You really have no idea what's in front. You're not seasoned warriors. You're vulnerable. And these are days of special temptation. So remember your Creator. Remember your Creator also because these are the best days of your life and you owe the best to God. Doesn't God say that again and again throughout Scripture? Isn't that an overriding principle all throughout the Old Testament Scripture? What was it? Give me the first fruits. God didn't want what came later. He didn't want the beans from late in the harvest when they had black spots on them. He didn't want the squash that had sat in the field so long and it was soft. He didn't want the lame and the maimed of the animals. But the first fruits, the lamb without blemish, the firstborn. And these are the best years of your life, the prime of your life. And God says, give me your best. These years flow with sap. They're full of fatness. They're full of fruit. They're free of scars and anxieties. They're God's years. Remember your Creator in your youth. In the fifth place, remember Him because these are the days you have. You have today, but you don't have tomorrow, not yet. You don't know about tomorrow. No one knows about tomorrow. Doesn't matter if the person's 11 or 16 or 22 or 87. You don't have tomorrow. You have today. Remember your Creator now, today, because you only have today to remember Him. Verse 7 says it, doesn't it? The dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. That's the vanity of man's life. Remember your Creator today. Sixth, because youth is a time of strength. And now, your mind is clear. You have the greatest capacity to remember God. God has given special abilities and capacities to the young to use their minds. Why is it that you go to college when you're 18 and 19 and 20 and 21? Why don't you wait till you're 40? Well, go to college when you're 40 and you'll find out it's much more difficult. You go when you're young because your mind is sharp. Remember your Creator because God has given you special capacity in your youth to learn of Him, to remember Him. Don't put it off. Doctrine and religion and spiritual instruction aren't things that are easy to come by. A man doesn't just pick up the Bible and read it to know everything. It's a learning process, isn't it? We only scratch the surface. The knowledge of God is infinite. There are those older who didn't learn when they were younger, and they hardly have a thing to fall back on now. Why do your parents teach you Bible memory and Psalter numbers and all those things? Well, so that the foundation is laid there when your mind is sharp and young. Reason 7. Remember your Creator because the days of youth are formative days. What you do with your days and your years when you're young will set the course for all of your life. It's like the quote in the bulletin. It's like pouring concrete. You pour it and there it is. You can't change that. It sets the course. There are people who, even in their early and mid-20s, live in misery because what they did in their youth. They bear it all their life. A terrible marriage. Because in their dating, there was no thought, no idea, no discussion on spiritual things. And when somebody dared to raise that subject with them, of course, talked about that. We'll figure it out. Leave us alone. I'm an adult. And they bear it all their lives. What you do now sets the course for your whole life. There are scars that sin leaves. There's no such thing as casual sin or casual sex. You bring all that with you all through your life and into your marriage, and there's scars. Destroys the beauty of marriage and the sanctity of the marriage bed. You set the course now for all of your life. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Reason number 8. Because joy in your old age is contingent on your remembering your Creator in the days of your youth. The text describes someone who's lost their will to live. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And then Solomon goes on to describe the kind of years in which you find no pleasure. The years of old age. The sun or the light or the moon are darkened, the clouds return after the rain, the day when the keepers at the house shall tremble. And he's describing physical incapacity. Your arms tremble, the keepers of the house tremble. The strong men bow themselves, you stoop down and you shrink. The grinders cease because they are few. Your teeth fall out of your head and you can't even chew food. Those that look out of the windows are darkened. The eyes are dim. The doors are shut in the streets. You don't go out anymore. The sound of the grinding is low. You can hardly hear a thing anymore. But you rise up at the voice of a bird. You can't sleep the slightest thing. The sweet sound of a bird keeps you awake. You're afraid of things that are high, and there are fears, and the almond tree flourishes. Your hair is white like the almond tree. The little grasshopper becomes a burden. There's no joy, there's no pleasure in those days. Not in those days themselves. Without God, those are miserable. He's talking about the nursing home and people in the nursing home. And without God, there's no joy in life there. And this is what he's saying. Remember your Creator now, and you will have joy in those days. You'll be able to reflect back on a life that honored God and the blessing of God in your life, and you'll be able to look forward with hope to a glory that God has promised and of which you're assured. The one who lives ignoring God doesn't have that. The thought of God only brings terror. The thought of death only brings fear. Reflecting on life only makes them say, what an immoral, corrupt person I was. Remember your Creator now, and there'll be joy in old age. Reason number 9, remember your Creator, because that's the sweetest thing that can come into your mind. thoughts of God are thoughts of peace. Psalm 104, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have any being. My meditation of Him shall be sweet, and I will be glad in the Lord. Now that's not true if you ignore God, is it? The thought of God brought me no peace, says the psalmist when he's going through chastening. The thought of God only brought trouble and made his fears increase. Perhaps because he'd ignored God when days were better. Remember your Creator. Sweet thoughts of God. And God will bless your mind with peace. Will you remember your Creator? Will you? This week, young people, when you go to convention, and there are all the other young people and very few chaperones and all kinds of things that you could do, and probably nobody would know. Or crowds to make laugh and impress with your rotten, ungodly behavior. Will you remember your Creator? Or when in a couple weeks you go to college and there's not only education but a lifestyle that goes against God, will you remember your Creator? Or when you go to work tomorrow maybe, any one of us, will you remember your Creator? You will. God's people will. Because God has first remembered us. I have graven you on the palms of my hands, and I cannot forget you, he says. And you have the testimonies of that in your life. God has not forgotten you. God has put you in a covenant home. God has given you covenant blessings and good friends and relationships. God is sending you with the other young people to this young people's convention where godly youth are there and godly relationships can be built and where there's spiritual communion and speeches and discussions. What a blessing! God is remembering you. And in gratitude, you will remember Him. Even in this word tonight, we see that God remembers us. You see His love here, don't you? This is what God is saying through old man Solomon. Out of the context of the life and the experiences and the wisdom of Solomon. Maybe your grandparents have done this. Maybe your grandfather at a 50th or a 60th wedding anniversary or something like that has spoken to the family. That's what God is doing here. He's using Solomon to teach. Now you listen then, don't you? And from God it's a word of love. From Solomon it is too. He understands. He sees the dangers. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for our minds, for the knowledge that we have of Thee, and for the Word tonight, an admonition to address us in a weakness that we have, a weakness to put so many things before Thee. Give us, Lord, to forget the vanities of life and to focus on the great thoughts of Thee. And may that reflect itself in our living and also in the peace and the joy that we find in life. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.